You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, UFC 258 goes down tomorrow night in Las Vegas, headlined by a fascinating welterweight title fight between Kamaru Usman and Gilbert Burns, as we welcome you to the UFC 258 live preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck. Of course, we're joined by producer extraordinaire on the ones and twos, Mr. E. Casey Lydon. And we're also joined by a very special guest, UFC welterweight contender, one of the top coaches in the sport over at Glory MMA and Fitness. In fact, one of his fighters will be competing tomorrow night on the main card. That man is one Julian Marquez. Let us say hello to the James Krause.
What's
James,
up?
I needed a co-host on short notice, but man, you were the guy to call. How's it going?
I'm your guy. Short notice is my thing.
Well, thank you for doing this, man. Of course, for those watching live right now, send over your questions for James and the rest of us amateur panelists, and we'll answer them here. Of course, James, the professional. But I do want to ask you about Julian Marquez, James, because it's been almost 1,000 days since we have seen him compete inside the octagon. The guy has dealt with a lot over the last few years. We thought we're going to see him fight in November. Fight gets scratched last minute due to his opponent having issues with the weight cut. 4 months later, here we are, man. He fights Maki Pitolo tomorrow night. Despite what this man has gone through, this guy just moves forward with a great attitude, a smile on his face. He's bumping Miley Cyrus tracks. I mean, how fired up is this guy? And, you know, how fired up are you to be a part of this journey to see him get back in there tomorrow night?
Oh, man, he's been a real gift to have in the gym. His attitude's always great. Obviously, he's always positive, so it's contagious, you know. So he's been great to have back in the gym. I can't say enough good things about him, and really his improvement over the last, this will be my third camp with him since coming back, and first fight though, right? We haven't had a fight yet. So we're supposed to fight the same guy twice, whatever weight cut happened. Anyway, I'm excited, you know, I'm just as excited as well because this will be my first fight with him. So he's been working really hard, and each camp that we've had together, he's made very, very big improvements. So I'm really excited to see, you know, what we can come up with against a tough, you know, game, Maki Pitolo.
When you guys saw like Maki was going to be the guy, did you feel, I mean, I know when I saw Maki, I was like, all right, Julian's definitely fighting on this night because Maki's
this guy's going to make it to the fight. 100%. I said, when that name across the board, I said, you know, we talked about it or whatever. And you know, Julian's like, what do you think? I said, well, Maki's going to make it to the fight. Ain't no doubt about that. This I've been watching Maki since his days on Victory and on UFC Fight Pass. And, you know, he tough kid, durable, good power. He, you know, I got a lot of good stuff to say about him. So it's going to be a good fight. I think this is a fan favorite fight. Both these guys like to strike. Both of them are pretty durable, and it's a good fight for the fans, I think.
For Julian, do you have to kind of keep him in line through this whole thing? Like, 3 years is a long time. He's a super unique guy, but at times you have to be like, dude, I know you're excited. Let us like stay in the moment, enjoy the process, those kinds of things.
Yeah. So he's just, he's excited, you know, he's, and all these guys are, you know, it's nothing crazy. So we got to keep everybody in line at some point. And myself, you know, my coach has to keep me in line whenever I fight. That's our job as a fighter, is to go, you know, attack. That's what we're trying to do. And there's a time and place for everything. Now's not the time to attack. We need to rest. He's asking me to, you know, are you going to hit pads or anything tonight? I said, no, man, leave, rest. You fight tomorrow. We'll hit tomorrow. We'll warm up a little bit tomorrow, whatever. We're good. But I love the energy. You know what I mean? Like, that's, it's good. It's a good problem to have. We're right where we need to be. I'm really excited to watch him come back and compete after a long, long layoff. You know, he's been dealing with the injuries and he's been healthy finally since being back with me. And man, he's made such a huge, you know, weight transformation. Gosh, I think he lost he was up to like 250 or something like that at one point. And, you know, made 185 easily, I might add. He's a big dude. He just does it right. He listens. And I think he just wants to be led. I think that's the thing. He wants attention and he wants care and he wants to be led, you know, and you have to kind of, he'll fight you on it sometimes, even though that's what he wants, you know, that he craves structure. And I think we really enjoy having him, and I think he enjoys being there. So it's a great fit for both sides.
Should be a very fun fight. I know the questions are probably going to be rolling in. I do want to ask about the main event real quick. I'm sure more specific things are going to come in about it, but you know, you got Kamaru Usman. The man has been dominant for pretty much his entire career, looking to defend his title for the third time against former teammate Gilbert Burns, who has looked phenomenal since making the move from 55 to 170, something that you've enjoyed success doing in your own right. When you look at this fight on paper, what sort of sticks out to you with the belt on the line tomorrow night?
Well, first off, if you look at Vegas, right? Vegas is saying, I think Usman is close to minus 300 now. To me, that's insane. I think this fight, it's hard to bet against a guy that hasn't lost in the UFC. So you have that, right? But I think this fight is so much closer than that. I think Burns is going to bring some very interesting things to the table. And essentially they fight fairly similar. They're both looking for the takedown. They're both very good at putting people in the cage. Both have some power, some pop in their punches. Both are pretty durable guys, wrestle well, you know, so I'm very interested to see how the implementation of their game plans, you know, I got to think that Usman's going to look to keep it standing and Burns is going to look to take it to the ground, because I think Burns is a far superior jiu-jitsu prowess. You know, that doesn't mean he's a better grappler per se, but, I think these guys match up very, very well. And I'm very excited to watch this fight, but to see Burns, I feel like that's disrespectful. You know, I feel like at the line that he's at, I think it's going to be a much more competitive fight.
I actually feel like both of these guys are being disrespected in a way, because Kamaru Usman, I mean, if he wins tomorrow night, he breaks George St. Pierre's like consecutive winning streak for the welterweight division. That's like incredible company right there. And then you get Gilbert Burns with the odds and stuff. I feel like both of these guys are sort of flying under the radar, and both are getting not getting the credit they deserve. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely an argument for that. I mean, Usman's great. It's hard. It's just, I think it's easy to, it's kind of like whenever you watch a fight and the first round's like a 10-7 round and the second round's a 10-8 round. And then the third round was like, it wasn't even competitive, but it was a lot closer than the other one. Sometimes they get that pity round. It's kind of the same thing with Usman. Like, I feel like, not that he's being disrespected, but everybody's just so used to him winning. You know what I mean? It's like, he's winning so much. It's like, that's what he's supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like, so it's, but yeah, dude, he's incredible as well. It's a great fight. And, like you said, Usman is, he's creeping up on some GSP status, you know, that right there. And I still think Usman is in his prime. So, you know, for him to even be compared to GSP, start talking about Hall of Fame stuff, you know, that it's a different ballgame at this point for him. He's obviously solidified his position, not just in the current welterweight division, but in the UFC as a whole, right? Like as an organization of all time. So, you're 100% correct. Both these guys are not being disrespected, but I definitely think that people are sleeping on this fight.
How much of a factor do you think the former teammate versus former teammate thing will be? Because I don't know if you ever fought somebody that was like a former teammate of yours, someone you worked as closely as Usman and Burns have worked together over the years. How much of a factor do you think that plays in this fight?
Well, I haven't fought a teammate before, but I have fought people that I've trained with before. And I think that the thing going into that is like, you know, each other's weaknesses, you know, towards like, if you fight somebody you've never trained with, you got to figure out their weaknesses in 15 minutes, you know, like there's just like, maybe this person is terrible in the clinch. You know, you have to figure these things out, and you have 15 minutes to do it, to whereas these guys know exactly where they need to go. You know, they know exactly where the weak points are. They've done hundreds of rounds together, spent hours of training together. These guys know exactly where they need to go to win and exactly where they don't want to go to lose. So it's very interesting. I think you're going to see a very like straight to the point fight. I don't think there's going to be a lot of dead space, you know, but all that being said, both these guys are very good at kind of putting their opponents into what I call like a purgatory, where it's not necessarily striking. It's not necessarily grappling. It's just, it's kind of a combination of both, or putting everything together. They like to put people on the fence. They work from the clinch a lot. And I think both these guys are masters of that. So I'm interested to see how Usman, that's typically trying to take people down, how he's going to handle the jiu-jitsu of Burns, and then how Burns is going to handle the length of Usman in the striking. You know, it's just a very interesting matchup, but they know, you know what I mean? They've trained together. They know where they need to go. So it'll be interesting to see how these guys are looking to attack immediately. You know, like I said, they know exactly where they need to go. And I think you're going to see that in the first round, what their game plans are and what they're trying to do.
Of course, the rest of the main card, Macy Barber versus Alexa Grasso, is an interesting fight. Kelvin Gastelum looking to snap a 3-fight skid, fighting Ian Heinisch. As of right now, from what I am told and what we have been told of MMA Fighting, the fight between Bobby Green and Jim Miller, as of now, is still on the card. I know Dana White was talking about a scary situation with Bobby Green collapsing in the back after the weigh-ins. We didn't see them face off, but as of right this second, this fight is still on the card, but we'll see what happens. Casey, do we have any questions, sir?
Yes.
For those watching right now, I mean, you get James Krause here. You got a UFC welterweight. You got a coach, one of the best minds in the business. So let's pick his brain while we have.
All right, let's talk about this fight. Let me make that a little bigger. Sorry.
All right. If Kelvin loses to Ian Heinisch tomorrow, should he move back down to welterweight and challenge a top contender? What are your thoughts on that, James?
No. I mean, I'm not necessarily from. No. From what I understand, his cuts to 85 aren't easy. And he's not, I mean, good Lord, can we cut the guy a break? Like, look who he's losing to. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's losing to some nobodies. You know what I mean? Like he's losing to the cream of the crop. He lost to Hermanson and then, to Till. Is that,
yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. He lost a split decision to Till, which is, it's kind of a, I like to call it like a nothing burger of a fight. Yeah, it didn't get too much out of either, but you know, but someone had to win, someone had to lose. Yeah.
But I mean, good Lord, those two guys are great.
Yeah.
You know, if he loses to Ian, you know, Ian's very skilled. I've trained with Ian before. He's very, very skilled. He's good. And if he loses to Ian, that won't be a shot or anything. It's just Ian's definitely not as credentialed quite yet as these other guys are. That doesn't mean he needs to change weight classes. To me, that's just a very old school thought. You know, I think he's had success at a very high level at 85. So I don't think it's a weight issue. You know, I mean, he knocked out one of the best fighters, one of the best middleweights of all time in Michael Bisping. I mean, he should get what.
Oh, what happened? You got, sorry, can you got muted? I don't know. How did you get muted again?
Someone try to call him or something?
Oh, you know, I think that's what's happening. He's somehow, someone's calling on his phone and it's automatically muting him.
So while we wait for James to come back, like here's the difference. Like the Kelvin Gastelum 3-fight losing streak is much different than like most other 3-fight losing streaks. Like this isn't like his back's against the wall, but not for like a job. Like he's not, I don't think he's fighting for his job tomorrow night. You know what I mean? Because of the loss he's had, the quality of opponents that he's had as well. It's just a divisional where you stand in this very loaded division, Casey, because like Sorry. In this division, it's all good, man. In this division, you cannot afford to take a step back right now, especially with the Kevin Hollins, the Marvin Vittoris, these guys making the rounds right now. You can't afford to to take any steps back right now. That's what I mean when his back is against the wall. It's not like he's fighting for his career or fighting for his job. He's fighting for relevancy in this division. If he goes and beats Ian Heinisch, he's right back in the conversation.
What I was saying is he's had a ton of success at 85. So it's not a weight thing, right? Like he's beating good guys in the division. So it's not a weight thing. There might be something else he needs to look at if that's the case. But Ian's no pushover, man. Like Ian's not a pushover, and he's top 15. You know what I mean? Like, and Kelvin's been in some wars, but what I was saying is look at what Kelvin did against Izzy. I mean, he very well could have won that fight. You know, he was in that fight. So, I mean, dude, we could be having a completely separate conversation right now where, you know, Kelvin is defending the middleweight title, you know? So it's not like, don't act like he's getting blown out of the water. Like he's losing to good guys and he's beating good guys. So it's not a weight issue to me. It's something, you know, it has nothing to do with his weight.
James, if you remember, what did you take from Kelvin's loss to Jack Hermanson?
I think he's just, man, Hermanson is a really, really tough guy to fight because he's a specialist and he kind of forces you to fight. He's very, very good grappler, but he's got a lot of power. He's got great cardio. He's got a good supporting cast to back up his grappling ability. And I'll be honest, I just think he's a better grappler than Kelvin. Like when I say jiu-jitsu, like if those guys were to compete in a jiu-jitsu competition, I think Jack would beat him 9 times out of 10. That doesn't mean that Kelvin's not a good fighter. That just means that Jack is extremely good. I think stylistically he matches up really well against Kelvin. And he's able, even Jack can win fights from his back, you know, and he's got a crazy good guillotine and he can attack from anywhere. So when you say, what did I learn from it? Well, the relevancy to this fight with Ian Heinisch is not a lot. As a whole, I would say his jiu-jitsu ability isn't up to par against one of the best grapplers in the middleweight division. You know what I mean? But like Ian is not known for his submissions. You know, he's a good grappler. He's a good wrestler, but he's not subbing guys left and right. You know, he doesn't have that danger factor that somebody like Hermanson does. So to me, their grappling style is very, very similar.
And you didn't work with Ian this camp, right?
No.
Yeah. No. Double check. Some people are asking about it.
But I've rolled with him many times though. I'm very aware of his game. Like he's gonna be a ground and pound guy. He's a position guy. He's very good at it. And what I like about Ian that I feel like he gives problems with in the middleweight division, he's, in my opinion, he's slightly undersized, but what he lacks in that, he makes up for it in speed and movement. Like he moves a lot for a middleweight. He moves like a lightweight, you know, and he's strong. He's got some pop. He creates these weird angles and I can see him, his movement giving problems for Kelvin, who's a very flat-footed, he's a very flat-footed fighter, and Kelvin does good against guys that stand right in front of him. You know, Ian's not going to be in front of him. I can assure you that. Ian's going to be moving left to right. And I agree with you, Mike. This is a must win for me on Kelvin. It's not just, like you said, his career's not over or anything like that, but he's fighting to stay in that top three, top five in the relevancy talk of like, hey, who's the guy in the division? He's in that talk, you know, but if he loses to Ian, that'll definitely put him out. So it's win-win for Ian and Kelvin's got his back to the wall, in my opinion.
All right. Thank you.
Well said. That's an interesting fight. Really good fight. Absolutely. A lot of really good fights in this card. What else we got here, Casey?
I like this question because I think it's more about we were talking earlier in the weigh-ins about where's the hype for such a good matchup in the main event. So let's kind of just talk about that a little bit.
What are honest expectations for the pay-per-view buys? I really can't see it topping 600K. I'll get your thoughts on this in a second, James. I don't know how much you care about like pay-per-view buys and stuff, but the problem with this card is not the card. It's not the main event, because when this fight was scheduled in December, people were fired up for it. People wanted to see it. The problem is we just got Poirier versus McGregor 3 weeks ago. So yeah. It's expensive to be a fight fan, James. It just really is. To have somebody pay $70 for that card and then turn right back around and pay $70 for this one, as good as the fight is, it's a tough sell.
Well, yeah, and it's a tough sell. Neither one of these guys talk a lot. They're not talkers. They're fighters, you know, and that's the reality, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you right now, if you as a fight fan are sleeping on this card, you are going to be – this is one of those cards that doesn't look like it has the star power. Mm-hmm. This card has a lot of really good matchups on it that I think are going to be fireworks, man. I think there's going to be some really, really good fights on this card. And you know, it's always hard to tell because the ones that you say are going to be a dud turn out to be crazy. And the one that you think are being crazy turn out to be a dud sometimes. That's how it goes. But for me, when I look at this, when I look at this card from top to bottom, stylistically, matchups, not name value, matchups, this card is matched extremely well to be a fan favorite card.
Casey, what was that card? Was it in Toronto? The Holloway versus Pettis card? What was that one? What was it? 2-7? 2-6?
Pretty sure it was in Toronto. Pretty sure. Was that Detroit? Might have been Detroit. It was up north. It was cold. I was there.
Yeah, that card was bananas. That was the Matt Brown, Donald Cerrone card. That was the, what was the other one? Was that the Cub Swanson Superboy Troy fight too?
That was Toronto, yes. That was definitely Toronto.
No one was talking about that card. Nobody was talking about it. And that fight, that whole card was absolutely insane. I feel like we might have something similar here.
Oh, yeah, dude. You never know. That's the, you know what I mean? That's the thing. Like, you can't judge. I mean, you can't judge what's going to be a good fight anymore off of face value. It just doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be some good fights. There's stylistically, there's going to be some really good fights. And don't buy the damn thing if you don't want to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to tell these guys. Like, but you're right. Like, I mean, we can't get Conor versus Poirier every weekend. It doesn't work like that. But like, as a fan, if you're not excited for this card, I don't know what else to say. Does it have name recognition? Not a ton, no. But there is some killer matchups on this card.
Are you familiar, James, from your kind of work of directly with Invicta, but you know, you've worked with a lot of female fighters. Are you familiar with Miranda Maverick?
Yeah, absolutely. She's from Springfield, Missouri, a few hours from me.
Oh, well, I am just super high on her. I think that young lady is, I just think she's amazing. What do you, because I don't think we're going to get any questions about her, but I would love to hear your opinion about her as a fighter.
Yeah, she's really good. What I like about her, she's very, very durable. She is, for a female fighter, she just seems to be so much physically stronger than a lot of the girls that she fights. And you mix that with some really good grappling and good cardio, and she's a handful. You know, she has a good skill set, and she has a great supporting cast to bring to that skill set. You know, her striking is coming along much better. She seems to improve that every time out, but she's got some pop, man. She's got some power, and that typically makes other girls want to grapple her. But when you grapple her, she's skilled, B, she's extremely, extremely physical, and C, she has good cardio. So she breaks these girls down over time. I like her a lot. She's tough. I will say this matchup is a very interesting matchup because I feel like we're describing both girls as we talk about this. You know, Jillian is a very, very skilled grappler as well. She's looking for the takedown. I think it's going to come down to who's a better wrestler in this one. You know, who gets the takedown? That's where it's going to be, because I don't see one girl submitting the other. I think both these girls have extremely good jujitsu. But to answer your question, she's very, very good. She's skilled, and she has a great supporting cast to go along with it.
Thank you much.
She's so mature for her age, too. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put a comment up here. It's a bit of a troll comment. I'm not putting it up because I agree with it, but I want to talk about, because this, I see this a lot, so I just want to talk about it a bit.
It wouldn't be a show if we didn't feed the trolls.
Snoozman, most boring fighter of all time.
I mean,
but yeah, we've seen this out there. It's all, yeah.
Yeah, whenever you watch him, no, he's not the most exciting guy to watch fight. No, but I mean, it's hard to deny winning's winning. You know what I mean? Like, as a fighter, I understand where he's coming from. I can give a damn less what anybody thinks about how I fight, or my style's a little different, but I don't care what anybody thinks. When I win, I get an extra check. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, like, these the fans aren't feeding my family. Like, it is what it is, man. Like, he's winning, and winners find ways to win. And if that's what he's got to do to win, I as a fighter and as a fan can respect that.
Yeah, I just
think two fights ago, he just had one of the best title fights of all time against Colby Covington. Like,
yes,
you got to fight to the guy you're fighting against. Like, Jorge, he's not going to stand there and get into a phone booth fight with Jorge Masvidal. That's crazy. Why would he do that?
No.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah, it takes two to tango, right? You gotta bring it out of him. So he's head and shoulders above a lot of these guys. And I think that's the problem, is none of these guys are pushing him to bring all his skills out.
Yeah, I'm always just kind of like how this kind of people are very selective in what they choose, what they like and don't like about a fighter. You know, say Usman, they just completely forget about the Colby fight. We hear the same thing about Izzy. Oh, Izzy's so boring because that one Romero fight. You know, it's just like, but Amanda Nunes is clearly, you know, Megan's gonna be facing her soon. She's had boring fights. You know, all the greats have had boring fights. I just don't understand. Maybe just. Who came up with Snooze Man? Was that a Colby thing?
That's Colby.
Okay, just
yeah.
I think people just like funny nicknames.
I think the problem is this, and this is so true. From a fan perspective, you're only as good as your last fight, and that's just the reality of it, man. Like you don't get credit for anything other than your last performance, and people don't talk about anything other than what happened last, and that's. It just is what it is. You know what I mean? His fight with Masvidal wasn't super exciting, but he did this thing on short notice against a killer, flew across the world, cut a ton of weight. Like, it's just, it's not as easy as it looks, guys. I promise.
Are you telling people being one of the best welterweights ever is difficult? Yeah.
Shocker, I know. Yeah, shocker. It's not easy. It's not easy.
All right.
Weird, I know, but God.
Big if true, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on one second.
See if there's like two more, Casey.
Yeah, it's going more. Just because people would love to talk about it. It's here, but sorry. Oh, I lost it. Where is it? Oh, never mind. Sorry, I'm getting lots of troll questions now about Usman, so I'm trying to avoid those.
Hey, we can talk about him. I got time. I'm stuck in a hotel.
This one's more funny.
Is Dana going to be as passionate about catching streamers for this pay-per-view as he was for Poirier McGregor 2? I think not.
Yeah.
I don't think he had a problem with the streamers. I think he had a problem with that one specific guy. That was one dude that he was going after.
Just don't go on Dana's Instagram and comment on a post saying you're gonna steal the fight. She'll be all right. You might be
illegally.
Okay.
Just do it in the background. You know, like let the guy.
Don't you brag about it?
Yeah.
Don't go on his page and do it. You crazy. When is Laura Sanko fighting again?
She is, what's crazy is she asks me about competing all the time. I think one of the things she's really been set on lately is the combat jiu-jitsu. She's really been wanting to do that. And she would be really good at it. She's got some really good grappling, but she's just been I think she's so busy lately because she's been doing stuff with LFA, she's stuff with the UFC. She's booked like every weekend. So I think it's just a time thing for her, you know, and she trains. I mean, she trains multiple times a week still regularly.
Were you training her for her first, when she had her first fight? Were you with her?
I've been coaching her since her first fight ever, her first amateur fight. This has been, wow, I've known her for probably 10, 12 years maybe.
Oh, that's gotta be pretty cool. Then you kind of seen just the growth of her, this blonde lady in a gym to like fighting and then on camera doing the camera work and doing the mic work. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, she's came a long way. She's done. I'm super happy for her. She's done an incredible job, you know, building into her career where she's kind of, you know, tonight she's doing LFA commentary, which is one of her things she's super passionate about is doing the commentary. You know, I know she wants to do it for the UFC, but man, she's doing a lot of, on that back end side, nobody really talks about it, but she's doing a lot of, trailblazing for yes. for women on the back end of things, mm-hmm. right? Not necessarily in the fighter department, but on the back end things. And her and a couple others in the industry are doing an incredible job, you know, paving that way for women in this sport. Yeah. You know, very high, you know, male dominated sport. It's not easy to do.
Yeah, I don't know if she's the first, but I'm pretty sure she's one of the first to do color commentary in the booth for male fighters. So, super. I'm just happy for her yeah. success, and you know, you guys are awesome. That's all.
Yeah.
one more. Okay. That's,
you got
that's,
anything? Yeah, I'll do one more.
Well, one more. Here we go. It's kind of a yes or no question, but.
All right. I think we've talked about this before, James, but as a head coach, we'll let the people know here. Is Megan Anderson your first fighter to challenge for a UFC title?
No, second. Tim Elliott, Demetrius Johnson mm-hmm. was the first. Answer is no.
There you go. How's she doing, man? This fight's coming pretty soon.
Yeah, what are we, a little under a month out now? She's looking great, man. I can't ask for anything else. She's doing amazing. She's on point. We've been in camp for, it just seems like she's always in training camp. You know, like as soon as she's done fighting, they call and say, hey, we have a potential fight 72 weeks out. Like, are you interested? You know, it's just, she's always in camp. And she's looking really good. You know, we have a tough task ahead of us, obviously, with Amanda Nunes, but she's looks incredible. And this is what I tell her, and I know, you know, it is what it is, but if now is the best time. If you're going to get Amanda, now is the best time. She's got a newborn child, you know, that's not easy. And I've done that. You know what I mean? Like I've done that, and I have like 99% support from my wife. You know, she's doing the majority of the parenting while I'm getting ready for fights. I've done that. It's not easy. So if she's helping at all, it's tough, you know, in the middle of a training camp to do that. So like, if you're going to catch her sleeping, I'm sure she's training hard, but man, if there's any time, now is the time, you know. And Megan looks incredible right now. She's physically the best she's ever looked, technically the best she's ever looked. She's in great shape. We're healthy. I mean, you know, she looks phenomenal. I can't ask anything else. You know, she's doing everything that we've been working on. And once again, my first one was against the greatest flyweight of all time. Now we have the greatest female fighter of all time. So, you know, whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, but as a coach, I mean, actually, I'll just go to the next question because this is basically the same thing. Where to go? Damn it. Oh, here it is.
Oh, this is not even close. Do I get more nervous for myself or my own fighter? It's not even close. I get nervous for my fighters way more than I do myself. And it's not even close. Well, and it's a control thing, right? Like we as fighters, like I can control what's happening. I have the joysticks, you know, I can dictate what happens. And to be honest with you guys, even if I get beat up, I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like I've been beat up in front of millions of people before. It doesn't bother me. Like I'm not scared to lose. But I see the work that these guys put in, these guys and girls put in, day out. And I just, you know, I want nothing but the best for them. I want nothing but success for them. And, you know, whenever you see that fall short, sometimes it's heartbreaking, but whenever you see it pay off, it's the most rewarding thing that you can ever imagine. Far more rewarding than any fight I've ever won. You know, a great example is watching Kevin Kroom get his first win this past year. Was one of the most rewarding things that I've ever seen in my life. One of my top three favorite coaching moments of my career.
Now he's fighting Bruce Leroy. That should be a hell of a fight, yeah. Right? He's fighting Caceres, yeah. Right? That's going to be a fun one. That'll be a don't blinker. Really looking forward to that. James, you're the man. Before we let you go, are you comfortable enough to give a pick for the main event?
Kind of. It's really tough to bet against a guy that hasn't lost in the UFC. All that being said, I think Burns has everything that it takes to beat Usman. I'm not going to give you a pick on who I think is going to win because I think it's going to be a very competitive fight. If you're a gambler, I would bet the over 4.5 rounds. I think it's going to be a very back and forth fight. I'm not going to give you a pick. Like I said, it's tough to bet against Usman. But if anybody's going to beat Usman, if anybody has the tools to do it, it's Gilbert's on that list.
There you go. Professional answer right there, James Krause. We appreciate you jumping on, my man. Especially last minute like this. I hit up the great head cap, and I was like, this is probably an impossible ask, but I think James Krause did this in an hour, and then within 2 seconds, he was like, yep, let's do it. So I appreciate it very much, man. Yes, man. Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
No, man. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. James Krause is the man. Thank you for watching, everybody. Of course, all sorts of there's my kid with puppets over my shoulders.
What the heck are you doing,
Kermit?
I was supposed to be here, not you.
Get out of here.
That sounds like him, too. Oh, my gosh. It sounds like him.
Get out of here. Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is out of control. Out of control.
Good God. Are you kidding me?
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.